Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me?
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Magical engineer Frank and I've got a great show, and thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be hitting that asthma topic today, but we have some new details that are just really exciting to know about. Just really great stuff. Hang with me. You'll see what I mean. We are going to be looking at ways to sidestep the asthma problem. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Also, we're going to be talking about some ancient sources. And if we get time, you know what? It's almost apple season. So we're going to be talking about one of those fruits, the apples, that can really help us out. So we got lots to talk about and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. Praying for them, praying for America, praying for you and me, praying for the American voter to vote God's will. That's what we need to pray for, is God's will. See, God hears those prayers that are within his will. That's a secret in scripture. If you open the book, you'll read about it. Also, I have my devotional, and today's devotional is, there is no place so desolate that you cannot find me there. When Hagar fled her mistress Sarah into the wilderness, she thought she was utterly alone and forsaken. But Hagar encountered me in the desolate place. There she addressed me as the living one who sees me. And through that encounter with my presence, she gained courage to return to her mistress. So no set of circumstances could ever isolate you from my loving presence. Not only do I see you always, I see you as a redeemed saint, gloriously radiant in my righteousness. And that is why I take great delight in you and rejoice over you with singing. And that is a synopsis from Genesis 16, Psalms 139, and Zephaniah 3. So if you just check it out in the scripture, draw near to the Lord, hit the knee, seek the Lord's face, mind time, it grows short, and you'll be so glad you did. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, got the Labor Day weekend coming up, right? Everybody ready for that? Yeah? All right. I'll, you know, be safe out there. All right. First up in the quack report, here's a report. Let's see. This is research study done at University of Alabama in Birmingham. More parents are refusing vaccinations, but the reasons they're refusing them are changing, according to this report. So parents who refuse or delay the vaccines, their reasons for that have changed, according to the study. The researchers surveyed 627 pediatricians in 2013, asked them whether their patients' parents had ever refused a vaccine or wanted to delay them. And when they did, they did a survey follow-up from a year earlier. So the researchers in 2013 say 87% of the pediatricians they surveyed encountered parents who refused vaccines or delayed them. It was up 75% from 2006. Then again, when they surveyed again, they said there was another 10% increase from 06 to 2013. So the reason they're giving is, get this, the parents just don't think the vaccines are necessary. End of story. Well, it works for me. Moving along in the quack report, we have some gender-neutral fragrances now. Companies are beginning to get rid of the gender stereotype with a lot of their products, and fragrances is one of them. In the 90s, Calvin Klein experimented with these pioneer fragrances that appealed to both men and women. So they call them eccentric molecules that have become a phenomenon disregarding gender boundaries. Okay? So, yeah, fragrances getting in on that. Moving along, let's see. Anybody here eat late at night? Well, according to some research here, coming out of, what is it, Italy? Rome. Okay, Society of Cardiology in Rome. They say that their study of 700 people who ate late at night, who also had high blood pressure, their blood pressure didn't drop before going to bed. So they say the blood pressure usually drops 10% when a person goes to sleep, but if you eat late at night, it doesn't drop. So they're worried about people with high blood pressure that may eat too late. They think it has something to do with stress hormones that are released when you eat later. So they're telling people to be careful. Researcher Dr. Ospelt, he says the results from the European Society of Cardiology in Rome says if we eat late at night, the body essentially remains on high alert as during the day rather than relaxing for sleep. Well, you know, don't Europeans eat late, right? They have that siesta. You know, Spain, you know, they have that siesta from, what, 1 to 3, and then they go back to work, and they work till like, what, 7? Then they have dinner? I don't know. Last but not least in the quack report, this is a report, let's see, out of Rutgers. Goodness. This title just grabbed me. What do you think of this? It says that They're trying to instruct students on college campuses to avoid microaggression statements. Students in at least one of Rutgers University's resident halls are being encouraged to use only the language that is helpful and necessary so they avoid committing microaggressions. Committing a microaggression. So part of the school's, quote, Language Matters campaign includes a handwritten definition of three types of microaggressions, as well as a flyer listing potential offensive words and phrases. So they instruct the students to ask themselves whether their choice of words are true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind before they speak them. This is being adopted on a lot of campuses, I hear. So I don't know. Is there going to be, like, new legislation on a federal level for all 50 states that, you know, you could be, I guess, fined as a misdemeanor of a microaggression? You committed a microaggression. You know, what happened to sticks and stones, right? Can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. People need thicker skin. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, just another, you know, censorship, you know, strategy, you know, take away your opinion. All right, we're going to talk about asthma, and this is going to be, I might go long on this segment. I might go past the bottom of the hour break. We'll see, because we got lots of stuff here to talk about. And, you know, any kind of pulmonary problem that makes it harder for us to breathe, kind of difficult to live with. And, you know, that is exactly what medical science says to asthma patients, that there's no cure. And at best, the condition can be managed, you know, with their drugs. So patients are told to avoid, you know, common asthma triggers and to never be without their medications. However, there is now some new evidence that asthma is more than just a genetic condition, and it may be a condition that's been created or at the very least exacerbated by medical science into the epidemic levels we see today. So we're going to take a look and see what this new evidence is and see how we can sidestep asthma. All right, first the characteristics. We've talked about asthma before on the show, but there's some new evidence, so I thought we'd resurrect the topic here. It's not too difficult to spot someone that has an asthma attack. You know, it's the unfortunate individual who suffers from the recurrent wheezing, coughing, and shortness of breath is a person who suffers from asthma. And the attacks can be mild or severe when their airway to their lungs becomes blocked or clogged with mucus. And if the blockage isn't removed quickly, suffocation can occur. So modern medicine lists the causes of asthma as chronic inflammation and a thickening of the bronchial and nasal passages. So the inflammation triggers muscle spasms, further constricting the air passages, making breathing extremely difficult. And most medications used by asthma patients reduce the inflammation caused by asthma, but long-term use can offer some side effects, you know, scarring of the lung tissue and so forth. Well, let's look at some of the statistics because they're changing a little bit from the last time we talked about this. So in 2010, when I reported on asthma, the statistics showed that in the U.S., there were 23 million with asthma. That would be 16 million adults and 7 million children. Now, in 2016, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America announced that we have 24 million Americans with asthma. And the CDC is stating on their site that 1 in 14 Americans has asthma, 1 in 10 children has asthma. So according to their statistics, more male children have asthma than females, and asthma has continued to increase since the 1980s. And checking the statistics on the reasons for children to be absent from school, you would think, you know, common illnesses, injury, or depression would be at the top of the list. However, asthma is. And over 2 million end up in the emergency room with asthma, and it accounts for 14 million doctor visits a year. So on a daily basis, we lose about 10 Americans. They die from asthma. So 10 too many. All right, let's look, because there are some stats that are showing up. There's a difference in ethnic groups with asthma. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America states that certain ethnic groups are more prone to asthma. More blacks than Caucasians develop asthma, and 80% of the Puerto Rican population has asthma. I had no idea. You know, did you? I didn't know that. So more blacks than whites, and the Puerto Ricans obviously have an asthma issue. So there has been also speculation on the air quality in poor neighborhoods that trigger asthma. So the percentage of blacks to Caucasian children with asthma is twice as high for the black community. And black children with asthma visit the hospital 330% more than Caucasians, and they have a 220% greater risk of hospital stays. And we also have been told that more black male babies have autism. So could vaccines be causing autism and asthma and other health conditions in the black community? It's a question. Well, let's get to the new findings, this new report, which I was just, you know, excited to read. In August 2016, Live Science published a report on asthma and the likelihood all children have equal risk of developing asthma. So the report also mentioned a study that was done in correlation of asthma to dairy and the type of dairy farm. That's interesting. So according to the study, the Amish have their own dairy farms, and hey, they have less asthma than the general population. So the study was published in the August issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, so you can read the entire study there. But one of the lead researchers, Carol Ober, she's a professor at the Human Genetics University of Chicago lab, she says this: exposure to Amish-like environments seems to protect children from asthma. Wow, that's kind of huge, isn't it? Well, they did a little research on some possible correlations for why this is. And in the Amish study, the researchers compared the Amish farming community in Indiana to the Hutterite religious community in South Dakota. So the communities had similarities in that they, you know, they shun most modern conveniences and technology. Both communities breastfed babies, they had large families, and they had similar diets. However, the Hutterite community had a higher rate of asthma compared to the Amish community. So blood samples from the children in both these communities were collected, and they also collected dust samples from their homes as well. And this is what they said about those results. The Amish children had a higher level of immune system cells associated with innate immune response. So this is the heart and soul of the immune system, basically. They also had more neutrophil blood cells, which help fight infections, and they had fewer eosinophilic cells, which cause allergic reactions or excessive inflammation. So this means the Amish immune system is stronger and more reactive to disease. That's huge. Also, on the dust that was taken from the homes, the Amish from the Amish homes, they took the dust and they exposed lab animals to it, and they didn't have any responses. They didn't have any asthma responses, but the dust from the Hutterite houses did produce an allergic response in lab animals. So the research team was able to test the dust and the Amish from the Amish houses, which had trace elements of their dairy farm in it. Yeah, the Amish children are exposed to many more microbes at a younger age than the Hutterite children. So the Amish also engage in traditional farm practices. They usually have a single-family dairy farm. They have horse-drawn field work and transportation, whereas the Hutterites live in a large communal farm. They use more modern farm practices, and the children are really not exposed to the farm animals like the Amish children are. So the percentage of asthma cases with the Amish compared to the Hutterites is 5% for the Amish, which is about half the national U.S. average, and 21% for the Hutterite. So this is huge. This is a huge discrepancy.
Huge.
All right, Carol Ober, professor of human genetics, University of Chicago, she says this, this study suggests that farming microbes involving livestock with early and frequent exposure boosts the Amish immune system. Recreating the Amish time-tested experience could be a way to protect children from asthma. What do you think of that? Should we all go back to the Amish way of life? Well, the Amish don't pay taxes. That may be a big reason why we could do that. Well, let's go on. Let's look at some of the environmental triggers for asthma. The asthma triggers typically are perfume. A lot of people with asthma can't walk down the soap aisle at the grocery store. It's too many fragrances and they have an attack. Also, fireplace smoke or tobacco smoke and kerosene heaters have too many carbon emissions and can throw someone into an attack. So children without asthma who live with parents who smoke have a 50% increased risk of respiratory dysfunction like bronchitis, pneumonia, ear infections, and an increased risk of respiratory problems as they age and become adults. And they also have an increased risk of behavioral problems. So other non-chemical triggers for asthma are stress, trauma, cold fronts where there's a drop in pressure, and excessive noise. Now, there are also some food triggers for asthma patients. There are certain foods that can bring on an attack. The most common foods are eggs, certain types of fish or shellfish, nuts, chocolate, and Coca-Cola. Yeah, a study done by the Hammersmith Hospital in London found that Coke triggers asthma anywhere from 1 hour to 4 days after consumption. So someone with, Coke drinks, somehow the Coke product increases, they say, the sensitivity to histamine. And a study from the Netherlands found that some foods can offer a late onset or delayed trigger to asthma, taking anywhere from 48 to 56 hours to engage in the asthmatic response. So patients who avoided such foods for at least 6 to 12 months decreased their asthma attacks by 93%. Also, MSG is one of those food ingredients among the big additives. It's an asthmatic culprit as well, and it's in a lot of foods. So a lot of processed foods, processed milk products are also a risk for those with asthma. So whereas the organic unprocessed milk that the Amish consume seems to not offer as much of an asthma risk as processed milk does. Well, of course, look at the Amish. I'm sure they're not injecting their cows with a bunch of, antibiotics and growth hormones and this and that. So their milk is probably pure and, quite different. All right, let's look at some foods that can actually help with asthmatic responses. There was this German study by Dr. Walter Dorsch of Johannes Gutenberg University showed that onions can be an asthma sufferer's best friend. Yeah, Dr. Dorsch found that onions have a very strong anti-inflammatory action similar to the anti-inflammatory drugs. So the study reported that onion anti-inflammatory compounds were stronger than the popular anti-inflammatory drug prednisone. And Dr. Dorsch was able to prove that by consuming onions or onion juice, it reduces the risk of asthmatic attacks by 50%. And the isolated compound they think that's in onion that's responsible is called thiosulfonate. And onions also have the quercetin, which is an antioxidant known to, relieve hay fever and stabilize cell membranes. And those things also release histamine. Now, a study out of New York State University by Dr. Eric Block found another sulfur compound in onion that also blocks the chemical reactions that tend to lead to an asthma attack. So onion, have some handy. Fish was also on the list. Fatty fishes with lots of fatty oils and omega-3 fatty acids, beneficial, very beneficial for asthmatics. So if you add the fish to the diet, the body's able to regenerate the lining of the airways and remove the thickening and the scarred tissue and restore easier breathing. According to a British study with asthma patients, if you eat 8 ounces of mackerel each day or you take high doses of fish oil for about 10 weeks, it offered a 50% reduction of the inflamed passages. The researchers think that it's the leukotrienes which help normalize the bronchial constrictions better than any antihistamine product. Also, by adding fish, which contain omega-3 fatty acids, to your diet, like salmon, sardines, tuna, or mackerel, this may diminish or prevent an asthma attack. It is an interesting statistic that cold weather can trigger an asthma, yet Eskimos who eat fish all the time have little or no asthma. Dr. Joel Schwartz conducted a study with the Environmental Protection Agency and found that fish eaters less likely to develop asthma or other respiratory problems. A London study by Guy's Hospital confirmed Dr. Schwartz's finding, as did a French study at the Rothschild Hospital. Wow. All right, fruits and vegetables. Vitamin C, you're going to find that in your fruits and vegetables, your organic especially, can help you breathe easier. During Dr. Schwartz's fish study, he also found that fruits and vegetables can help control the inflammation response of asthma. He found that if you eat foods with at least 300 milligrams of vitamin C, the blood becomes rich with the nutrient and reduces asthmatic responses and bronchitis by about 30%. So to equal Dr. Schwartz's vitamin C requirement, you'd have to eat about 3 cups of broccoli or drink 3 8-ounce glasses of orange juice a day. Most American diets don't come close to that level. So Dr. Schwartz says vitamin C stimulates a histamine production, and it's able to eliminate contractions of the bronchial muscles that trigger the asthma attack. So the vitamin C also stimulates prostaglandins to control inflammation. Other studies have been done using 500 to 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C to stop or prevent asthma attacks. And research has reported that when asthmatics go vegetarian or remove a large majority of the animal meats, animal foods from their diet, they have a 71% improvement in just 4 months. There you go. So try to get some rich vitamin C into the diet. These foods, suspend that allergic reaction. Make sure your vitamin C is not coming from China, please, because most of it is. You got to really hunt for the good stuff. I can see by the clock we're going to be taking a break, but we still have one food to cover. I think I have time to squeeze it in. Cayenne, hot and spicy foods, asthma deters asthma, according to research. This is the foods that, block up the break up the blockages and open up the airwaves and help you breathe easier are cayenne pepper, according to Dr. Erwin Zygmunt, pulmonary disease expert at UCLA. So hot peppers, garlic, mustard, onions, other mucokinetic action from these foods deter asthma attacks, clear mucus away, and help asthmatic people breathe easier. They stimulate nerve endings as well and increase water secretions to break up the mucus. Yep, they have the power to move those things, fluids. So cayenne pepper is excellent for asthmatics. Remember that. Probably why they do well eating Mexican food, right? It's hot chilies. Well, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to finish this topic up. We got some color therapy to mention, as well as other helpful therapies for asthmatics, and some herbs. We got to fit the herbs in. Absolutely going to get those in. And then we'll move on to our other topics, like ancient sources of therapies. Ooh. We'll be right back.
I can feel the magic floating in the air. Being with you gets me that way. I watch the sunlight dance across your face, and I've never been this swept away. All my thoughts just seem to settle on the
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live."
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or on the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about asthma for the first part of the show. And here's something that's really kind of crazy. A color therapy some research on that. We know that light can influence our moods, and apparently color can also affect breathing. The study that was done with different colors of light to see if asthma sufferers responded, and according to the findings, the colors of red, yellow, orange, when applied to the chest cavity, emit a special wave particle that sends energy vibrations, deactivates some body enzymes, and improves the breathing for asthmatics. How crazy is that, right? All right. Some other therapies that also help with asthmatics. Many experts are recommending a combination of therapies for asthmatic sufferers, from detox programs to modifying the diet. But it seems important to those with asthma to obtain more of the beta carotenes, the natural calcium in the diet, and magnesium. Other therapies that also seem to be helpful are things like hydrotherapy, aromatherapy, along with consistent exercise to improve that lung capacity. So, all right, let's get to the herbs that are going to rock your world if you're an asthmatic. We talked about onion already and cayenne, but garlic is also a wonderful herb. It's really cousin to the onion. It fights off viral, bacterial, and fungal infections and helps with bronchial secretions. Thyme herb has some antimicrobial properties, also to ward off many pathogens that you might breathe in. And it's also great for whooping cough. It's an old-time remedy for whooping cough. Willow bark, meadow sweet, and mullein, anti-inflammatory pain relievers, also soothing, soothes pulmonary organs. Lobelia, very good for dilating the chest cavity and getting rid of it. And it's an antispasmodic, so it gets rid of that contraction of the bronchial. So lobelia is very helpful for asthmatics, helps them breathe easier, dilates the lungs. Marshmallow root, high in natural calcium, soothes inflamed respiratory passages. Valerian root calms irritated nerve endings that tend to trigger asthma. Peppermint alleviates any discomfort or nausea or vomiting that helps rest the chest muscles. Cayenne, we talked about removing the mucus blockage. And also helps the body, strengthens the body, so you can overcome weaknesses and fatigue. And also it helps rebuild a resistance to colds and flu bugs. And you're going to find the garlic, the mullein, the pain reliever, the anti-inflammatory, willow bark and meadow sweet, the lobelia, the marshmallow, the valerian, the peppermint, circulation, all of it at Apothecary Herbs. Of course it's there. Where else would it be? You can give them a call for a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless because it puts the power back in your hands. And when you get a certified organic Tilth Standard Whole Food formula, that's been protected from friction and heat, and it's cold-pressed, that's a game-changer. People just are amazed at the difference that that product compared to what you usually get in stores that's mass-produced and it's made hastily. So check it out, thepowerherbs.com. That's putting the power back in your hands. Take advantage of their Labor Day sale. They have that through Monday the 5th. You'll save 15% on orders of $50 or more. So you can stock up on your immune boosters, your organ cleansing. You can get flea and tick collars for your pets and shampoo for your pets and things like that are all organic and natural. Just check it out, thepowerherbs.com. You'll be glad you did. Toll free once again, 866-229-3663. Yes, I get calls about that catalog. We're working on the catalog. We're fine-tuning it. So we're hoping to send the catalog to the printer the third week of this month and have it ready to mail out by the first week of October. So we're working on it. New catalog, new products, too. Yep, you're going to see them all there. All right, we're going to be talking about some ancient sources. What do the ancients know that we don't? Well, scientists and researchers are turning to ancient medical texts, their herbal medicine texts as well. They're looking at the folk medicine books. They're written down through this the hundreds of years passed down by families. They want to find the next generation of drugs from this information. So science prefers to take herbs, turn them into individual derivatives to make their science-based medicine, also known as prescribed medication. And, you know, they get to patent that, see? Also, Asian countries, about 80% of the population there use herbs for their medicine. For instance, in China, scientists are turning to the herb compounds, which now make up about 40% of their pharmaceutical market. And the Chinese government spends $1 billion a year in traditional medicine research. So roughly 70 hospitals in China, that's 15% of the hospitals there, use herbal medicines to treat patients with, while the rest use westernized medicine. So the West does not embrace China's herb treatments or products due largely to the concern on quality. And the European Union makes it illegal to sell traditional Chinese herbal medicine treatments, which are not registered with the European Union traditional herbal medicine registration scheme. I'm not kidding. That's what they call it. So as China wrestles with improving quality standards, other countries are keeping their ear to the ground on what healing miracles may be discovered in ancient herbal texts. All right. But, you know, whatever they find, you know what they're going to do. They're going to adulterate the thing. They're going to isolate it. They're going to change it so they can patent it. But the problem is the beauty of herbs is they're perfectly balanced already the way they are. And when you start isolating compounds, you're breaking up the function, the action that the herbs present. So what scientists and pharmaceutical companies and researchers are discovering is that herbs have multiple compounds, and it kind of makes it more difficult to isolate the compound. They want that compound that performs the task they're seeking. So an ancient herb formula of, let's say, just two herbs can present a molecule complex situation. So what science is developing and discovering is that herbs have many ingredients inside themselves, and that makes for hundreds of compounds. It's very complex. I think the creator did that on purpose. What do you think? So in order to expedite the process of identifying and isolating all these compounds, Chinese researchers have constructed a computer algorithm to screen large collections of herbal extracts and try to isolate the pure compound, which can have hundreds of molecules and cell lines inside of it. So the problem that they face is if they focus tightly on individual compounds, they can miss the big picture. Compounds can have a synergistic effect when paired together. Separating these compounds can produce a very different effect. So modern medicine does the same thing with treating, you know, a specific area of the body that has, you know, a disease. Instead of the entire system, they just kind of isolate that one body part. So what do they have so far? Well, what the scientists and doctors in China have been doing is looking at herbs that improve digestion to see if they can be used to relieve the side effects of chemotherapy. So perhaps they should really look at the herbs that destroy cancer and skip the chemotherapy. What do you say? However, you know, real cures really don't, you know, pay the country club dues or the big house payment or the imported vehicle, car note. So, you know, finding a cure for stuff like that, you're going to be waiting a while if you're waiting for modern medicine to tell you about it. All right, so real cures really cannot just, you know, justify the cost that medicine demands in keeping itself operating. You know, medicine is a business. It's an industry. It's a corporation. So researchers in China receive funding from the National Institutes of Health, and the U.S. is also in the development of experimental drugs for the purpose of making chemo more tolerable. But in order to patent an herb compound, they have to isolate it. They have to alter it. They have to make it original somehow. It can't be God's copyright. You can't do that. So this is how they tend to operate. They drain out a gnat and swallow a camel. That's how I describe it. Yep. They're not looking at the big picture. They strain out a gnat, but they swallow a camel. All right. Here's a quote from Carl Washingtonism. He's a neurobiologist with Life Science Division in Hong Kong University of Science. He says there are around 100,000 herbal formulas going back 2,000 years that can be used to treat a range of illnesses from depression and insomnia to osteoporosis. Traditional herbal medicine is a human treasure, and it should be shared with the world. Well, yeah, you know, herbs are here for the service of man. They're not for just a certain group of individuals to control. You know, God's going to get mad if that happens. They're trying over in Europe right now. But we should stand up for our rights. God said herbs are here for the service of man. They're meat. Yeah. Healing of the nations. That's what they're for. All right. Let's talk about this shipwreck, which had some ancient medicine information on it, which was so cool. I love digging up stuff like that. You know, if I hadn't been an herbalist, I'd been an archaeologist. I would. In 2002, a shipwreck off the coast of Tuscany, Italy, revealed some interesting secrets. Artifacts that were recovered were about 2,000 years old and were medical in nature. They found a mortar and pestle. They found a bleeding cup. They found a surgical hook. They found tins with dry, intact, green herbal pills inside. I wonder how they stay dry. I really do. But these were the only known medicine samples that they've had in antiquity. So the Department of Antiquities of Italy released a sample of the tablet to be analyzed by genealogist Dr. Robert Fleischer from a Smithsonian Center of Conservative and Evolutionary Genetics. Fleischer, I guess is how you pronounce his name. Anyway, anyone that wanted to know anything about these plant tablets, they had to go to the Smithsonian to find out what happened. This was an ancient supplement that they were dealing with. So, you know, the Smithsonian had to do it. So what scientific tests showed was that the plant's DNA had degraded. However, the plant fibers were well preserved. So they extracted what DNA that they could from the samples, and they compared it to DNA listed in the GenBank, which is a genetic database operated by the National Institutes of Health. And what they found were traces of carrot, parsley, alfalfa, celery, wild onion, radish, yarrow root, hibiscus, and sunflower. So the tablet was held together with some clay, probably some, you know, edible, digestible clay, bentonite clay. Researchers then cross-referenced the ingredients with ancient Greek texts, such as the Hippocratic Collection that was, they thought, written by Hippocrates. So what they concluded that the ancient supplement was used basically to relieve digestive disorders, which sailors were known to have. So there is speculation that the tablets would have been dissolved in a liquid to drink, like wine, vinegar, or water. They can also recover more ancient medicinal artifacts. If they do, they'll offer some more clues as to what the ancient physicians worked on, how the trade routes influenced the plant-based healthcare of their day. All right, so what do you suppose we did before we had Greek physicians? Well, before the Greeks became known for their healing knowledge, there was the Egyptians. Homer, 800 BC, wrote about the Odyssey, that the Egyptian physicians were extremely skilled than any other culture, and much of what is known about the Egyptian healing and their arts is through later reports in antiquity. So very few Egyptian texts on health have been found. And it is known that famous Greek healers, such as Galen and Hippocrates, studied at the temple of Imhotep, and their writings acknowledge the Egyptian medicine as a great contributor. So the Rosetta Stone of 1822 shed some light on Egyptian hieroglyphics and some medical treatments that were written on papyrus. Some of these texts were instructions for Egyptian doctors to perform surgery. Other texts wrote about formulas for prescriptions on how to diagnose disease and set broken bones, how to write up medical reports, and what was thought to be a tumor. So the majority of their healing arts included ailments made from animals, minerals, vegetables, and fruit. And the ancient world of healing arts also included spells and alchemy, most notably attributed to an Egyptian priest, an architect, or a physician called Imhotep. So he wrote about trauma cases, falling off a horse or chariot with when it was in motion, that it caused many injuries. Some could be fatal. And it's believed that the boy king Tut fell from the chariot and broke his leg. X-rays and MRI scans of his remains suggest the wound was severe enough that it caused protruding bone from the skin, and most likely he died of a blood infection from the injury. So the Egyptians seemed very interested also in the brain, and they developed cranial sutures and were able to analyze cranial spinal fluids. So medical scholars feel that the health treatments provided by ancient Egyptian physicians kind of surpassed what medical skill Hippocrates knew about 1,000 years later. So magic was really not only medical mode for the ancient world, but it also the texts point out that the ancient healing arts developed from observation, examination, and experimentation, just like today. So it wasn't all just, you know, magic and spells. It had some common sense stuff going on. Let's talk about some of the hierarchy within medicine in Egypt. This is interesting. The medical hierarchy in ancient Egypt went as follows. There was the chief medical officer, the superintendent, the inspector, and then the physicians. So it appears that the coroner or the medical examiner of their day was the top man, followed by the detectives and the law enforcement, and then the physicians were at the end of the totem pole. And this was a culture obsessed with the afterlife. And it makes perfect sense that the guy that sends a body to be mummified would be pretty much more important than the guy who saves you from having to die and to become a mummy. So, by the way, the name for the Egyptian physician in the ancient world was Wabu. And the first recorded female physician in Egypt was Lady Preshat, 2400 BC. Yeah. So shepherd of the physician. Anyway, I think that's interesting stuff. See, I would have been an archaeologist had I not been an herbalist. All right, so the Egyptians forged this path long in history for medicine. They were the first to discover the heart was involved in blood supply to the body. They were first to discover vascular medicine. They were also knowledgeable about kidney function and kidney disease, renal failure. They also were very capable of diagnosing mental health issues. They wrote about them and also the treatment they had for depression and dementia. They were fertility specialists. They were dentists. They were ophthalmologists, oncologists, and of the ancient world, basically. But that's what they were. And some of the entries that they found kind of fascinating. Like this one, half an onion and the froth of a beer was considered a delightful remedy against death. Beer and onions. Oh, you can go to Outback for that. Yeah, the bloomin' onion and get you a cold one. Mm-hmm. I know, I'm just, you know, having fun. So the Egyptians had their own version of Sirpa Ipecac. There also were treatments to remove parasites that are still being used today, by the way. And the Egyptians used many herbs and spices as their medicine and included cumin, fenugreek, coriander, and other standard herbs they had of their day. So in their ancient texts that we do have listed these herbs and some of the benefits, so they listed also sesame seed soothes asthma symptoms. There you go. Mustard relieves chest pains. Mint is great for digestion. Turmeric to help close wounds. Poppy for headaches and insomnia. And onion for colds and heart problems. Now, the American medical physician today practices some of the ancient healing arts, including alchemy. Did you know that? So alchemy was a practice with supernatural incantations, metals, and crystals, and amulets, and it was anything but scientific. So from this ancient culture of witchcraft called alchemy, we have vaccines with heavy metals in them, mercury. So Dr. Anthony Morris confirmed that there's really no scientific evidence to support the claims vaccine therapy prevents or cures disease. So we need to keep that in mind. That's right. So the ancient world of physicians had its strength and had its weaknesses, just like medicine does today. Egyptian physicians excelled in the areas of trauma and surgery, but turned out to be less effective against treatments regarding prevention, sort of like today, right? And we can learn by past mistakes and strengthen our body, you know, have healthier lifestyles using some powerful herbs and be smart about how we use them. I mean, there's a lot of herbs that work just like a poor man's antibiotic without all the side effects of an antibiotic. There are herbs that strengthen the cardio so you don't have to take, arrhythmia drugs and things like that. You have tools. And you probably say, well, okay, but how do I use them? Well, that's where the apothecary herbs folk come in. They are bent on educating you on the power of the herbs, okay? So with each product they make, and they make their own product line, you get info sheets on that particular formula and why it works and how it works and, you know, how it strengthens. And so they give you some guidelines there. And so you can be eventually a connoisseur of herbs, pretty much, medicinal ones, to empower yourself and benefit yourself and your family. So now's the time, if you've ever been wanting to learn how you can have that independence and freedom of using medicinal herbs as strengthening the system and, healing the system, then balancing the system, you know, helping the body heal itself is basically what nutrition does. You medicate yourself every day with what you put in your mouth. So without water, you get dehydrated, you die. Without food, you starve to death, you die. So foods, herbs, water, all really medicinal. So don't be afraid of herbs as medicinals. People get all kind of freaky about using herbs, you know. They have no qualms about going to the drugstore and picking up a prescription of toxic chemicals and popping those in. But herbs? All right. We all know God can't lie. He said herbs are here for the service of man. They're meat. And they're for the healing of the nations. Meat means they're powerful. They have a lot of protein and live nutrition to help the body repair and balance. So tap into it and learn how to do that. And if you're wanting to learn more, get a Power Herbs book, $14.99 at thepowerherbs.com. It's a download. It's an ebook. You can select your format, iPad, Kindle, PDF, $14.99. And get your feet wet and get empowered. At thepowerherbs.com. That's how easy it is. Ooh, I hope you all have a great Labor Day. You all be smart out there. And, be responsible. Don't overdo. Watch the sugar. Please watch the sugar. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.